ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् थर्ड कैंटो Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, Text 33. Ditistu Bririta Tena Karma Baddena Karma Baddena Bharata Upasangamya Viprashim Adho Mukhi Abhabhasata Ditistu Vridita Tena Karma Vaddena Bharata Upasangamya Viprashim Adho Mukhyabhyabhasata Ditistu Vridita Tena Karma Vaddena Bharata Upasangamya Viprashim Adho Mukhyabhyabhasata Ditistu Vridita Tena Karma Vaddena Bharata Upasangamya Viprashim Adho Mukhyabhyabhasata Diti, the wife of Kashyapa. Tu, but. Vridita, ashamed. Tena, by that. Karma, act. Avadena, faulty. Bharata, O son of the Bharata family. Upasangamya, going nearer to Viprashim, the Brahmana sage, Adhomukhi, with her face lowered, Abhabhashata, politely said. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O son of the Bharat family, Diti, after this, went nearer to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. She spoke as follows. Please repeat. O son of the Bharat family, Diti, after this, went nearer to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. She spoke as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one is ashamed of an abominable action, one naturally becomes down-faced. Diti came to her senses after the abominable sexual intercourse with her husband. Such sexual intercourse is condemned as prostitution. In other words, sex life with one's wife is equal to prostitution if the regulations are not properly followed. So I'll keep on reading the next few verses and then come to the purport. Text 34, Diti Rubacha, Name Garbham Imang Brahman, Bhutanam Rishabho Abhadhit, Rudra Patirhi Bhutanam, Jasya Karabaham Aham Sam. Jassa karabam aham amhasam. Sorry. Jassa karabam amhasam. Oh, the beautiful deity said, "My dear Brahmana, kindly see that my embryo is not killed by Lord Shiva, the Lord of all living entities, because of the great offense I have committed against him." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Diti was conscious of her offense and was anxious to be excused by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has two popular names, Rudra and Ashutosh. He is very prone to anger as well as quickly pacified. Diti knew that because of his being quickly angered, he might spoil the pregnancy she had so unlawfully achieved. But because he was also Ashutosh, she implored her Brahmana husband to help her in pacifying Lord Shiva. For her husband was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. In other words, Lord Shiva might have been angry with Diti because she obliged her husband to transgress the law, but he would not refuse her husband's prayer. Therefore, the application for excuse was submitted through her husband. She prayed to Lord Shiva as follows. Namo Rudraya Mahate, Devaya Graya Midhuse, Shivaya Nastadandaya, Dhritadandaya Mannashe, Mannave. Let me offer my obeisances unto the angry Lord Shiva, who is simultaneously the very ferocious great demigod and the fulfiller of all material desires. He is all auspicious and forgiving, but his anger can immediately move him to chastise. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Diti prayed for the mercy of Lord Shiva very cleverly. She prayed, "The Lord can cause me to cry, but if he likes, he can also stop me crying, because he is Ashutosh. He is so great that if he likes, he can immediately destroy my pregnancy. But by his mercy, he can also fulfill my desire that my pregnancy not be spoiled. Because he is all auspicious, it is not difficult for him to excuse me from being punished. Although he is now ready to punish me because I have moved his great anger, he appears like a man, but he is the Lord of all men." Sana prasidatang bhamo, Bhagavan Urbanugraha, Vyadhasyapya Anukampayanam Strinam Deva Satipatihi. Let him be pleased with me, since he is my brother-in-law, the husband of my sister Sati. He is also the worshipable Lord of all women. He is the personality of all opulences and can show mercy towards women who are excused even by uncivilized hunters. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva is the husband of Sati, one of the sisters of Diti. Diti invoked the pleasure of her sister Sati so that Sati would request her husband to excuse her. Besides that, Lord Shiva is the worshipable Lord for all women. He is naturally very kind towards women, on whom even the uncivilized hunter also show their mercy. Since Lord Shiva is himself associated with women, he knows very well their defective nature, and he might not take very seriously Diti's unavoidable offense, which occurred due to her faulty nature. Every virgin girl is supposed to be a devotee of Lord Shiva. Diti remembered her childhood worship of Lord Shiva and begged his mercy. So in this way, Diti prayed. So many nice points are coming here. One very important point is the nature of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has been described at the beginning as he's a Rudra. Rudra means who gets angry very quickly. And that anger causes havoc. That anger causes destruction. Rudra. And this Rudra also is coming from Rodan, cry. After the Rudras came out, they started to cry, and Lord Brahma told them, Ma Rudra, don't cry. And that's how they got the name Rudra. And those who are crying. And another aspect of Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Ashu means quickly, Tosh means santosh or satisfied. So Lord Shiva is very quickly pleased. He is very quickly pleased. Sometimes, if just one bay leaf falls on Lord Shiva's head, he becomes so pleased and says, what kind of benediction do you want? Once a hunter shoot an arrow to kill a bird on a bell tree. The bird was sitting on a bell tree. And Lord Shiva was meditating under that bell tree. And when that arrow went, it caused some leaf to get cut from the tree. And the leaves fall on Lord Shiva's head. Lord Shiva opened his eyes and he saw the hunter. So he asked, so what benediction do you want? Although unconsciously he made one leaf to fall on Lord Shiva's head, it pleased Lord Shiva so much, he said, come, ask for any benediction. And that's why the demons often take advantage of Lord Shiva's pleasing nature, gentle nature. Who is very easily pleased. And they think that by pleasing Lord Shiva, they'll get some benediction. And their benedictions are often troublesome to the society. And the demons, what kind of benediction demons want? Demons want benediction to live forever, to enjoy here in this material nature. Therefore, they ask benediction. Please give me the benediction that I can become immortal. Hiranyakashipu asked the same benediction to Lord Brahma. Make me immortal. Lord Brahma said, I can't make you immortal. Even I am not immortal. Similarly, they ask Lord Shiva also, make me immortal. And then when they don't get that boon of immortality, they want to become immortal by some means or others. Just like Hiranyakashipu said, oh, you can't give me the benediction to become immortal. Okay, so give me the benediction that nobody can kill me. Nobody can kill me. No man, no demigod, no animal, no serpent. And he gave the whole list. Nobody would kill me. No weapon would kill me. I will not be killed during the day or night. I will not be killed on the space or on the land. I will not be killed inside the room or outside the room. So Hiranyakashipu thought that now he covered all the possibilities of being killed. But what did the Lord do? He had the benediction that he won't be killed by any man or any animal. So Lord appeared as half man, half lion. So he was neither a man nor an animal. And he used his nail to kill him. He won't be killed by any weapon. He won't be killed on the space or on the land. So he kept him on his lap, which was neither the space nor the land. He would not be killed inside the house or outside the house. So he sat on the doorstep. And he won't be killed during the day or night. So he was killed at the twilight, at the time of the twilight in the evening, when it was neither the day nor the night. So the demons may even outsmart Lord Brahma, but they can't outsmart Krishna. Krishna came and killed Hiranyakashipu. And Lord Shiva feels very guilty about that. He prayed to the Lord often that please give me the benediction that I do not cause you unnecessary disturbance, because I always cause you so much disturbance. I give this kind of benediction to all these demons and they cause so much trouble, and then you have to come to rectify the situation. Sometimes Lord Shiva forgets about Krishna's position. He fails to recognize Krishna and he fights against Krishna to support his devotee, like Vanasura. Lord Shiva sided with Vanasura and fought against Krishna when Krishna and Balaram went to rescue Aniruddha. And so when Vanasura was in distress, Vanasura was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So he prayed to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, okay, I'm coming. I'll fight with you, fight for you. This Krishna is troubling you, okay. I'm with you. And then Krishna became so angry with Lord Shiva that that Lord Shiva had to run away from there. He went to Benares, Varanasi, his dham. And Krishna Sudarshan Chakra even burnt out Varanasi. Lord Shiva didn't know where to go. So finally he went to Mayapur. He took shelter of Mayapur Dham and started to pray to the Lord. That Mayapur Dham is actually there is a place called Harihar Kshetra. So there Lord Shiva started to pray that, look, I trouble you, I have this Ishwar Bhav, I have this feeling that I am the controller, I am the supreme. And due to that feeling, I often forget your position and I fail to recognize my position as your subordinate servant. So please take away this Ishwar Bhav, the controller, the mood of the controller. So that is the position, that's what often happens. Like we become, when you get a position, we become so puffed up, we become so intoxicated, we think that, well, I am the supreme controller. And as a result of that, we even commit offense to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Lord Shiva sometimes prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his mistakes. But at the same time, Lord Shiva is very, very easily pleased. He is very gentle. He is very renounced. He is completely renounced. He is so renounced that he doesn't have any external consciousness. He covers his body with what? Generally, people cover their body with cloth. Lord Shiva covers his body with bhasma, with ash. He is Digambar. He doesn't wear any clothes. He doesn't even, he's even Aniketa. He never stays in he doesn't have a palace or even a house. He lives in all kinds of places, under a tree, in a crematorium. Although he is the husband of Mahamaya. And Mahamaya is Annapurna, but Lord Shiva doesn't have any place to stay. His wife is the controller of the entire material nature, but Lord Shiva doesn't even have a place to stay. Not that he doesn't have a place to stay, but he doesn't need any place to stay. He's so absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna that he doesn't have any external consciousness. Therefore, he doesn't have any need for anything. And less intelligent people cannot understand that exalted position of Lord Shiva. Like Daksha, his own father-in-law. Daksha felt insulted. And as a result of that, what happened? He got the head of a goat. Because his activity was so stupid that he got an appropriate head. A stupid head of a goat. So this is the punishment that one receives when one insults Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Of all the exalted Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva's position is very, very exalted. And yes, Lord Shiva is very quickly pleased. So what should we ask from Lord Shiva? What is the most important thing in life? What is the most important thing in this world? What is the most precious object? Krishna Bhakti. So, when we approach Lord Shiva, what should we ask? Please give us Krishna Bhakti. Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi, just like we pray to Tulasi Maharani. She is also very quickly pleased. Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi. Please give us Krishna Bhakti. Similarly, we must also pray to Lord Shiva for Krishna Bhakti. And Lord Shiva will be very pleased then. Because he knows the value of bhakti. That's why he is always meditating on Krishna. We see Lord Shiva is chanting with a japamala in hand. Whose name is he chanting? Lord Shiva is also chanting Krishna's names. So we are very fortunate to be in the place of Lord Shiva. Mahakal, Mahakaleshwar. The Lord of the great time. And what should be our prayer? Please give us Krishna Bhakti. And that's why Lord Shiva is pleased that we came here. That Krishna is being, Radha Madan Mohan appeared here, and Lord Shiva is so pleased about that. So this is how one recognizes the position of Lord Shiva when you see in the light of the scripture, through the eyes of the scriptures, then you get to recognize the exalted personality of Lord Shiva. Otherwise, he may appear to be very, very angry, devastating. He is the cause of destruction. But this destruction sometimes is necessary. Like we are seeing, often we notice, new building has to come up. Then all the old buildings have to be demolished. in order to... Now, it's not a cruel act to destroy the old building, but it's a constructive act. The old buildings have to be demolished in order for the new building to come up. And when it when that doesn't happen, then the progress doesn't take place. So, you know, we have to make room for new things to happen. And in order for new things to happen, in order to let new things to happen, the old things must go. So that's what Lord Shiva does. Things that are undesirable, that is removed. And when he does that, it seems to be very painful, very destructive, very cruel. But he is not cruel. Lord Shiva is very gentle. When you see his nature, he's very, very gentle person. But yes, when he gets angry, yes. But that anger subsides very quickly also. And that's why he is Ashutosh. And here we are also seeing that how Diti recognized her mistake and started to lament afterwards. So when it's not that we may not act in a wrong way, but after acting in a wrong way, when we recognize that we have done something wrong, we must rectify that. We must try to rectify that. If we don't rectify our mistakes, that will be wrong. That will be undesirable. Mistakes will be made, but those mistakes must be rectified as soon as we recognize that. And the result will be that we should not commit the same mistake again. We should not make the same mistake or should not commit the same mistake again. In this respect, Prabhupada gives the example that you make some mistake, you commit a crime, then the police arrests you, takes you to the court, and you appeal to the judge. Please forgive me, I didn't know I made a mistake. The judge forgives you. But if you make the same mistake again, and then you go to the judge, then appeal to the judge, will the judge forgive you next time? No. The judge may forgive you. If he is a very merciful judge, he may forgive you the second time. But third time, judge will say no. Go to the prison. So similarly, when you make mistakes, we should sincerely repent. And this repentance is a sign of our sincerity. So that is how one has to become properly situated on his spiritual path. Actually, materialistic life is so full of mistakes that when we think back, we must be embarrassed at all the mistakes we made in the past. The more we make spiritual advancement, the more we begin to see the mistakes that we made, especially in our lives before we became devotees. So many mistakes. And those mistakes make you feel so embarrassed. Oh, how could I act like that? But doesn't matter. It's past. So don't dwell in the past. Forget the past that sleeps. Focus on the future, Krishna. Just be fixed up on Krishna. Whatever has happened, has happened. And that's why it is said that Vaishnava shouldn't be judged according to his past action. A Vaishnava should be seen as a person who is constantly improving. What happened just even a few minutes ago, one shouldn't be held responsible for that. Because in a moment, he may rectify, he may change. So, Vaishnava shouldn't be judged according to his past actions. And these are the Vaishnava Parada, actually. To consider a Vaishnava according to his past activities. To consider a Vaishnava from his birth in the family. So these are the offenses. If one does that, not only insult a Vaishnava or physically harm a Vaishnava, but even to judge a Vaishnava according to his past action is wrong. Offense. To consider a Vaishnava being born in a low class family is an offense. The Vaishnava's only identity is that he is the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's his only identity. And a Vaishnava is therefore situated on a very, very exalted position. Shalpo kori namaniho dash hano nam, alpo bhagye dash nahi karen Bhagavan. Don't consider the name, title, Das to be something very insignificant. Unless and until one has great good fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't make him his servant. Don't consider the title servant to be insignificant. To be the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the greatest good fortune. Therefore, become properly situated in that good fortune. It's a great benediction that you have this opportunity to become the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And accept this position with all sincerity. Don't take it lightly. Don't think, oh, I'll become a devotee tomorrow. Today let me enjoy. Today let me be in Maya. No. What is the guarantee that this opportunity will be there all the time? We came so close to achieving this opportunity. What if we die now? Without taking advantage of this opportunity. What will happen? Will you get another chance in the next life? Who knows? We may get a chance, we may not get a chance. So the intelligent thing to do is to take advantage of it right now. Just right now. Of course, it's not that you have to move into the temple and become a full-time devotee to do that. Wherever you are, just remain there, but at heart, surrender yourself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Often I noticed sometimes the tendency is there, well, I'll do it after some time, not now. But who knows when that opportunity will come again. Therefore, don't procrastinate. Now only. Now is the time. Now that the opportunity has come, let's take advantage of it. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
I know Brahma, Lord Brahma is a living entity. And when a living entity is not competent and not to accept this post, then Bhagavan himself accepts it in the form of Brahma. Does it happen for
Lord Shiva's position is not a jiva. Lord Shiva is not a jiva. Lord Shiva is Shiva Tattva himself. He is not quite Vishnu Tattva and he is not Jiva Tattva. So that is Lord Shiva's position. Since no jiva becomes Lord Shiva, that position is not open to anybody. is Lord Shiva's position. I mean, Krishna himself actually becomes Lord Shiva. Chirang yathadadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tata prithagasti heto ya sambhutama pitatha samupaiti karjad govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajam. Just as milk becomes yogurt, similarly, in order to accomplish some very special mission, Krishna, Govinda, becomes Sambhu.
In ordinary case, like ordinary official personality, somebody is pleased like that by taking bribe. Is not the position of Shiva like taking bribe, is pleased? But is your working under Krishna? Why do you like this?
Yeah, bribe, you see, when somebody is taking bribe, he is doing it for his own sense gratification. Now there's the difference. Lord Shiva is not taking bribe. Rather, Lord Shiva is just quickly pleased because he sees that ultimately what happens, he sees the hand of the Lord behind it. Hiranyakashipu had to be Hiranyakashipu in order to assist the pastime. So ultimately he sees that these are the arrangement of Yogamaya, so he simply plays his role there.
Maharaj, Guru Pasanis are coming to this temple and also in Mahakal. What is their purpose to come since they are in the process?
Don't ask me, ask them. Why they come? How do I know? Go and ask them. Rather ask them why they are not becoming devotees. They are getting on. They say that they study the scriptures, but the scripture is, Bhagavad Gita is clearly saying that impersonalists, they suffer. Those who are offensive to the Lord, Krishna is saying that tani ahang dishata kruran saṃsāresu narādhaman kṣipraṁi majasraṁ āśurīṁ. What's the next line? Aśubhān āśurīṣe vijonīṣu. So he is himself is clearly saying in Bhagavad Gita. So if they don't want to accept, if they want to if they don't want to take advantage, who can help them?
My question is related to this last one. Srila Prabhupada, one of his purports says that this material is just like a dreaming land, and each and every living entity, there is a profound slumber, and this body is just like a dream.
This body is just like a dream. Did Prabhupada say that?
Yeah.
Where did Prabhupada say? Which book? It depends how you look at it. It can be seen as a dream, but you know, you are living on the dream. It's not your dream, it's Mahavishnu's dream. That's why it's real. That's why when something happens to the body, you say it's a dream. You are hungry and don't have any food, you think that, oh, I am dreaming that I am hungry. Or next time, on Ekadasi, we say no food. Right? And you are dreaming. So you can go on without eating. Ekadasi, Dwadasi, Trayadasi, Chaturdasi. Let's see for how long you can last. But the other way of looking at it is meaning that our actual consciousness should not be in this body. Whatever is happening in this body is just like a dream. We are thinking that it's happening, but actually it's not happening because our actual consciousness is in the spirit soul. Each and every living entity?
Yes, he says, at a present moment, in profound slumber.
In a profound slumber. You have to show me what Prabhupada wrote. Because I have to see in what context Prabhupada said that. Show me. When you come up a quotation like that, bring the book. Alright? Any question in the internet?
But I have one question.
Yes. Yeah, it's Bhurloka means earth planet, but your concept of earth planet may not be complete. Yeah. Bhurloka, the way it has been described, it is the space with seven islands and seven oceans, Saptadeep and Saptasagar. And in the middle there is Jambudvip. Now, generally we consider the Jambudvip to be the earth planet, but it's not that. It's much bigger. It's around Jambudvip that is surrounded by saltwater ocean. We don't have any concept of about Shuda, Sharpi, the ocean of wine, ocean of sugar water, ocean of ghee, etc. There are oceans. There is an ocean of ghee. Right? There is an ocean of milk. There is an ocean of wine also. So it's there, but we don't have any knowledge of that. So that means our understanding of the Bhul Mandal, Bhul Loka, is very, very limited. Jasa Prashada, Bhagavat Prashada.
Duryodhana was the guru of Duryodhana. Lord Balaram was guru of Duryodhana. And he was very pleased.
He was guru means he was his Astra Shiksha guru. Mess, he just taught him mess fight. He is not his Adhatmik guru. He did not say, Om Agyana Timiram. Duryodhana didn't approach Balaram with that understanding. If he did, then yes, Balaram would have given him Krishna. But that is Duryodhana's misfortune. Came to Balaram, came to a bona fide, the guru of the original spiritual master, but couldn't take advantage of that. Why? Because his consciousness was contaminated. Because he doesn't have any body consciousness. Therefore he doesn't want to cover his body. So what is the meaning? Why is he Digambar, or why he is called Digambar? Why he remains Digambar? Yeah, because he doesn't have any body consciousness. Because he doesn't have a body consciousness, he doesn't feel the need to cover his body. Yeah, that is just in his... he's a Bholanath also. Right? He is so absorbed in the mood of... So he just smears his body with...
Sometimes he is known as the
That is half his Mahamaya form and the half his male form. He also have another form, Harihar. Half as Hari and half as Hara. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.